Put our hands together for Jen, was it again? Thank you. So that was great to hear you share. And actually, why don't you, while you're clapping, why don't you turn to the person next to you, behind you, in front of you, and just say hello. Some people hate this. Good. Seems like you guys like it because it was very loud, and that's good to have a little introduction and a little chat. I will quickly pray. We've had lots of prayer, but let's just bow before we start. Most gracious Father, again, we want to thank you just for the opportunity to gather this morning. Thank you for Jen's story and the journey that she's been on to the point of saying yes to you, and then that act of obedience by being baptized. We thank you and praise you for that. Father, we pray right now that your Spirit would just ground us, and our eyes and ears and our heart and our minds would be focused on what you want to share with us this morning. We pray this because we believe it's something you'd want us to pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I want to start by sharing a bit of a story. September last year, I was in Melbourne. I'm part of this Arrow Leadership Group. Actually, I was just there last week, where they take emerging leaders, Christian leaders or senior Christian leaders, and they put them through this two-year program and developing them to lead like Jesus, to lead people to Jesus and to be led more by Jesus. And so I have the privilege of being the state coordinator for WA and South Australia, and I get to journey with emerging leaders as well as senior leaders. But last September, we were there, and we had a speaker, a lady by the name of Kate Bates, her name was, and she was incredible. She has an incredible story. She's actually in hospital ministry. I think that's what Jason is, if I'm right, as a chaplain. She's been involved in that for many years. But she was with YWAM, and she was serving in Italy, which apparently is a beautiful country. Beautiful people and beautiful food, all that kind of stuff. We don't have to go down that line. Tomatoes. But she was serving in Italy, and she told this incredible story of how there were refugees, I'm not sure what period of time, what year it was, that were coming from Russia, and they would come to this big kind of tent thing in Italy, and that part of their role for the YWAM crew was just to kind of connect, provide services and food and shelter and clothing, but also obviously in that process to share the gospel. And this lady, she is wants to see people become Christians. She wants to see them transform with the message of Jesus, and she remembers having this conversation with this one lady. And she said it was just like this lady was hard, and obviously her environment that she came from was it was war torn. There was a lot of hurt. There was a lot of pain, and basically she was sharing the gospel and went down like a lead balloon. And she left after this conversation feeling deflated and discouraged, thinking, "What am I here? Maybe I'm not meant to be doing this. Maybe I'm not cut out for this." And she goes on and she tells the story that actually at a YWAM convention some 5, 6, 7 years ago, this lady came up to her and said, "You don't remember me, but you had a conversation with me that bumped me closer to Jesus." And they started talking, and it was that Russian lady that she had this conversation with in Italy some 5 or 7 years prior, where she left feeling like it was a waste of time, because she didn't get her over the line, or she didn't convert, or she didn't feel like there was much engagement. And at that moment, so here's this lady who felt like had a hard heart, but actually became a Christian and now was working with YWAM to do the very same thing that this Helen lady was doing. And at that moment, she realized that actually our role is not necessarily to get people over the line or to convert them on the spot or anything like that, but actually just to come alongside and bump them closer to Jesus. Kind of like what we touched on last week, that we get to participate with what Jesus is doing. And so she made a goal there that from then on she would, whatever encounter she had, especially in a ministry context, that her goal was that that person would be bumped a little bit closer to Jesus after their conversation or after their time that they had. Now, she went into hospital chaplaincy, and she said that's an environment. You don't know how long that person you're dealing with or ministering to or praying for has, whether you'll see them again. And so she wanted to, every time she went into that hospital room, every time she sat next to their bed, was that maybe, hopefully, I can bump them closer to Jesus. Just bump them closer to Jesus. You know, the word repent literally means to turn 100. So you're facing one way. The word repent means to turn 180 degrees and be completely facing the other direction. And so when we repent, so we're Jesus, well, there's the cross, Jesus is there. When we repent, we turn and we now face Jesus. And so in some ways, you could see when we come alongside people, we give them hopefully a little bump and eventually they turn and face Jesus. We started reflecting on this and I started thinking about, actually, you know what, there's actually different types of bumps, isn't there? You know, sometimes you can be just in line at the shopping centre and someone kind of brushes by you and you're a little bit off balance and you kind of bump and you kind of move and then you see them and you give them one of those. Or sometimes you may be playing sport and football's a good one where you've kind of got, if you've got your feet grounded and you can absorb the bump, you don't get hit. But if you're not, you can get knocked over. Sometimes there's some really hard bumps. Here's one here, you know, the good old hip and shoulder. That could have been really dangerous, that word that came out of my mouth. The hip and shoulder there. And then there's the old shirt front. Where someone comes slamming in from the front and boom. And maybe that's happened to you with Jesus. Maybe it's not just a little gentle bump. Sometimes it can be a bit of a shirt front. Or maybe it's like this. I like this. I saw this on the Facebook, I think. Watch here. Just a little bump. can we watch that again? Because I could watch this for the rest of the sermon. I think this is good parenting. And just sometimes you just need a little bump to help you along the way. And so I started reflecting and we started thinking about, actually, sometimes it's not just us that can bump others, but actually Jesus bumps us. That actually Jesus comes alongside us and actually bumps us. And there's different types of bumps. A few years ago, we bought a Kluger, Toyota Kluger. I know it's not a Land Cruiser, it's kind of just under. And one of the things about the Kluger, one of the things is it talks to you, this lady I don't even know, an annoying voice, just, turn here, turn there, school zone, slow down, slow. Just like, it's quiet. Anyway, I haven't figured out how to turn her off. Some of you, it's not my wife. It's actually in the car. I love the voice of my wife. She's beautiful. But the other thing it has is this lane assistance. Has anyone got that in their car where it assists you, where it makes you stay in your lane? And it literally, it beeps and it bumps you back in the lane. And I'm like, that's annoying. If you don't indicate, I get you have to indicate. So if you're on the freeway and if you go to the other lane without indicating, it'll beep, beep and bump you back in unless you indicate. If you're driving especially in the country up to Parkerville and you kind of get a little bit lazy, it'll bump you back in. And like this thing's just bump. And I'm like, I want to drive the car. If I want to go change lanes without indicating, I will do that. But it will bump you back in. And it's keeping you in the middle, keeping you safe in the middle. Now, I have experimented just seeing how far I can get without not having my hands on the steering wheel. No, I haven't. Oh, maybe along the Forest Freeway. It's really good, eh? Like even around the corners, it just kind of. Anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. But you know what? Jesus actually sometimes does the bumping. Jesus does the bumping, and we got to recognize that. And sometimes, maybe part of your story, you were going through life, and Jesus came and gave you a little bump, and pushed you a little bit closer to Him. And when we look at the story of Jesus, especially through the Gospels, we see there are numerous times where Jesus does bump people. Think of the story of Saul. Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Now, if you don't know Saul, in Acts, the church has started to move. Jesus died on the cross. He rose and he's now ascended into heaven. And the Gospel is permeating in Jerusalem. People are becoming Christians, especially Jewish men and women are actually following Jesus. They're becoming followers of the way. And Saul, who is a zealous Jew, a leader among the Jews, he doesn't want this to happen. And so what he does is he's part of the persecution. And he goes around, he rounds up Christians, he gets them to denounce their faith or throw them in jail. He even has them put to death. And most scholars believe that Saul, who becomes Paul, is right there when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is stoned to death. Rocks thrown at him, that kind of stone, not the other stone. Stoned to death for believing in Jesus. And so Saul hears that the gospel is starting to spread outside of Jerusalem. In fact, the Christians are heading up to Damascus, which was north of Jerusalem. And it's a very central point. A lot of travel comes, people come through Damascus and end up in different parts of the world. And Saul knows if the gospel gets root there and people start becoming, then it could go further. And so he writes a letter to the Jews in Damascus and says, hey, I'm coming up. We've got to round up these Christians. We've got to have them thrown in jail. We have to basically kill them. And you know the story. Saul, he's heading up there. I think it says he's riding a horse. Anyway, he encounters Jesus. He gets shirt fronted. No soft little push, no lane assist. It's full on shirt front for Saul. He falls off his horse. There's a bright light. He becomes blind. And Jesus says to him, hey, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you persecuting me, Saul? So he has this encounter, this shirt-fronting experience where he is bumped. And you know the rest of the story. He goes in Damascus, spends some time there, but then he becomes the Apostle Paul and writes most of the New Testament. In fact, he becomes one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen. So Jesus comes and he bumps him. What about the story of Mary and Martha? Where Jesus is out and he's been doing ministry, and he comes back to Mary and Martha's house, their sisters, and they're relaxing, and the disciples are kind of, and in that time they would basically sit on the floor in a circle and food would kind of be in the middle. And the story is that they're having dinner at the house, and Martha is, what is she doing? She's working in the kitchen, which is, what's wrong with that? That's a good thing. She's trying to show hospitality to Jesus and the disciples. And so she's working and she's getting the spaghetti and the meatballs and all that kind of stuff ready for Jesus. But then she notices her sister, Mary. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just taking in Jesus, listening to what Jesus is saying. Maybe Jesus is sharing some stories. And there she is. Now here becomes the issue. Martha then says, whoa. I don't know if you've got kids, you probably know they do this. Hang on a sec, I'm doing the work and this sibling's not. But this is what Martha does. Martha goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. Martha's about to get bumped. Maybe not shirt fronted, but a gentle bump. Jesus gently rebukes Martha and says, Martha, relax. Uber Eats is on the way. Relax. Mary has chosen the better. What? What? You see, Jesus knows Martha's heart. Was there anything wrong? Is there anything wrong to serve? No, there's not. But then you don't have to pull Mary out. She's doing what she needs to do in this situation, in this time. And so Martha gets bumped. Jesus says, no, what Mary has chosen is the right thing. Don't you come in and try to change it. And so maybe this message this morning, Jesus is going to bump you. Might be a shirt front, might be a lane assist, might be just a little push, might just be moving you slightly closer. Or maybe as we share a little bit more, you can remember and reflect on times where Jesus did bump you. We don't like to admit it, we don't like to say it, but Jesus does come along and bump. He's like that lane assist. He wants us to stay on the track. And so I've put together some thoughts, some of the reasons why. Why does Jesus bump us? And how does he, or how do we respond when we are bumped? And the first reason why I think Jesus, and they all start with the big letter R. So today's service is actually brought to you by the letter R, not A. And the first reason is that he wants to redirect your path. This is kind of like the lane assist. He wants you to keep you on the track. He wants to redirect your path. You're going off the track. You're heading in the wrong direction, and boom. He says, no, you're heading in the wrong direction. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? Another great story. If you haven't figured it out, I love the stories of the Gospels. And the story of the woman caught in adultery is an incredible story. These Pharisees, religious rulers, have caught this woman sleeping with a guy. They never get the guy. I don't know where the guy is. It's always her. And the guy's gone off. He's committed adultery, but they're not too worried with him. Anyway, they drag this lady out into the kind of village center and says, this lady has been caught in adultery. Now, Jesus is there, okay, and they're kind of testing Jesus. Because the law of Moses says that she should be stoned to death. The people should get up, pick up rocks, and throw it at her until she dies. Imagine that. Whew. That is a hard, hard way to go. That's what should have happened. And so they know that Jesus has got this love and this compassion. And so what's he going to do here? This is a tricky one for Jesus to navigate. Is he going to go against the law of Moses? Well, actually, no. He's going to do some bumping here. He's going to bump the religious leaders, but he's also going to redirect the path of this lady who's been caught in adultery. Think of her shame. Think of her embarrassment. One of the things we need to do is when we read these stories, and I'd encourage you to do, is try to put yourself in the story. I think I mentioned this last week or a week before, that these are real people. These are normal people. These people struggle with the things that we struggle with. So put yourself in the story. Try to smell the dust. Think, what would she be thinking? Oh my gosh. Imagine if you were there, one, being caught in this act, two, the whole community knowing, three, the consequences are people about to throw rocks at you. But Jesus does something incredibly profound. Jesus says, okay, you're right. You're right. The action should be that she should be stoned to death. And he says to them, whoever has not sinned, pick up the rock and start throwing. If any of you haven't made mistakes, you can pick up the rock and start throwing. If many of you haven't made or done stupid things, you can pick up the rocks and start throwing. And then we read in the story something, we're not sure what, Jesus gets down and starts doing Sudoku or something on the sand. Some people have said that he starts writing sins. We don't know, but he's down looking at the sand. Maybe he's looking at the young lady caught in adultery in her eye, but he's doing something. And bit by bit, one by one, what starts to happen? Everyone starts to leave. Now, some of those leaders may have actually had committed adultery as well. We don't know. The point is this. At the end, when Jesus is finished doing what he's doing, he looks up and there's no one there except him and this lady who's been caught in adultery. And he says to her, where have all your accusers gone? They've gone. Who's the only one in that situation that can pick up and throw a rock? Jesus. In that time, in that situation, Jesus is the only one that can pick up and throw the rock. That's still a possibility for this young lady. But she gets her path directed, redirected. She gets bumped by Jesus because Jesus says, they've all left and I'm not going to throw a rock at you. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to show love. And he says to her, go and sin no more. I can guarantee that her path was radically redirected that day. We don't read about her, but I guarantee if you have an encounter like that, your life gets changed forever. She got bumped by Jesus. And sometime Jesus comes along and he bumps to redirect your path. Are you going your own way? Here's a question for us this morning. Are you going your own way? Are we going our own way? Has Jesus bumped you recently trying to redirect your path and you're pushing against it? Because when you do that, I want to warn you, the bumps will get harder. The bumps will get harder. Or sometimes the bumps may stop. I think God uses both techniques. And he's like, okay, go, see what happens. Is he trying to redirect your path this morning? Redirect the direction you're going. Sometimes he not only does it to redirect your path, but he also does it to refocus your attention. That's probably what the lane assist is, hey, because you're not focused. You're listening to music and you're looking at people out. And then you need your focus, refocus your attention. We talked about the story of Peter. Remember Peter and Jesus where Jesus said he's going to die and Peter says, no, 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 that's a bad thing. And Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. That was a bump moment, wasn't it? Where Jesus was saying to Peter, mate, you're focusing in the wrong place. Boom, bump, refocus your attention. There's a story where a rich young ruler comes up to Jesus. He's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. That's why he's a rich young ruler. It's pretty, sums it up. And he says to Jesus, again, you may know this story. What does he say to Jesus? How do you get to heaven? And Jesus says, well, you've got to keep the commandments. And what's interesting, this guy had kept the commandments. So this guy, because he's labeled as a rich young ruler, he has money, but he has more than wealth. He has status. He has people who work for him because he is a ruler as well. But he had kept the law. And Jesus said, you're right, you had kept the law. You've done a good job. So this is what you need to do then. Again, Jesus can see the heart. Jesus wants to bump the heart. He says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. Oh, boom. It's a bump. You need to focus on me. What was this young ruler focusing on? His wealth, his status. The sad thing about this story is, what did it say? The rich young ruler went away what? Sad. Because he couldn't. He didn't want to. And so he gave up following Jesus to keep what he had. So sometimes when Jesus bumps us, we just ignore it, or we don't want to. So he bumps us to refocus your attention. Where is your attention at the moment? Has your attention been in the wrong places? Are you getting bumped a little bit? Do you need to just say, oh, why am I keep getting bumped? Maybe I'm focusing on the wrong things. So he redirects your path. He refocuses your attention. The third reason why I think he comes along and bumps you is to remind you of a truth. He wants to remind you of a truth that, hang on, there's some truths in you and in Jesus and in the Word that you need to be reminded of, that you had forgotten about. When was it? 2020, where COVID first started. So I was at Lakeside, and as you know, Lakeside, we oversee the rec center, and it's about a $4 million operation. And when we first found out about COVID, no one knew what was going to happen. And we had about 13 weeks of, reserves, about 13 weeks of reserves that we could operate the same way before we would run out of money. And so this was all going around. We figured out, well, we can't meet. We thought maybe offerings would drop by 50% or 40%, or we weren't too sure, but we had a feeling the offerings would drop, and we weren't allowed to open our facility, so our rec center was shut. So you're thinking we would do, you know, you're talking $20,000, $30,000 a week gone each week that we weren't open. And so we were like, well, what are we going to do? So I was like, I'll save us. Don't worry. You know, I love this place. And what can I do? Where can I? The cans, 10 cents a can, that's going to take a while. So there was some people that we go to for fundraising. And there's this one guy, not a Christian guy, and he's a wealthy man. When I say wealthy, hundreds of millions. And I remember, and I just look at it now and I think, what an arrogant little Italian I was. So I went to this guy's house, had coffee and more coffee and more coffee, and then I sat there and asked him for $600,000. We worked out that we'd need about $600,000 that we thought we'd need. I drank so much coffee. I was buzzing. and then we get into this discussion, and then he said, well, what do you want me to do? Just get the money now and pour it into your pockets? So I was like, yeah, that would be fine. I don't mind that. We started talking. I shared a little bit about Jesus, and he said he'd think about it. Anyway, nothing came of it. Nothing came of it. Then we had JobKeeper and all these types of things. And one morning I was doing, I got bumped by Jesus. I got reminded of a truth. And I was doing a quiet time. And this passage here, Psalm 20, verse 7 comes up. Some trust in chariot and some in horses. So this guy I went to, he probably has some horses, maybe even some chariots. And I was trying to put my trust, come on, you can save us. Come on, you got all this money. But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. God was bumping me. He was reminding me of a truth. You know what was crazy? Maybe it was the same here. Our offerings actually went up. After the first bit of COVID, that first 6 months, or the end of 20, or the end of 2020, you know how much we had in the bank in profit or revenue? $600,000. Isn't that crazy? The same amount that I went and asked this guy, our offerings went up and all that kind of stuff was sitting in the bank account. And it was like God was reminding me of this truth. You can trust in chariots and in horses, or trust in the name of our Lord, our God. And maybe God, Jesus, comes along sometimes and he bumps you to remind you of a truth. He reminded me of the truth that day. Maybe he's reminding you of your truth right now. Have you ever been bumped by Jesus and he reminds you of something? Now, he may use circumstances and situations to do the bumping, but in that situation, there's a reminding of a truth, whether that truth be his grace, whether that truth be his mercy or his power or his compassion or his healing or his peace. And Jesus says, anyone who is weary or tired or burdened, come to me and my yoke is light. And so maybe you've been bumped by Jesus to remind you of a truth. I don't know what truth that is. Jesus says he is the way, the truth. He is the truth. Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So sometimes Jesus comes to remind you of a truth. Redirect your path, refocus your attention, remind you of a truth. And the fourth one here, and this one may be a big one for you, but to remove a lie or an untrue thought. Remove a lie or an untrue thought. Maybe Jesus bumps you to do this. Now, I tend to think a lot and tell my things that may not be necessarily true or helpful. By nature, I'm quite an anxious person. I'm a worrier. And so there's things I tell myself that I'm no good at or could be better at. And a lot of them are lies and they're untrue. And actually, the enemy loves to use these. And so what Jesus does, sometimes he bumps you because he wants to get rid of that lie. Can you relate to this or not? He bumps you to get rid of this. Well, actually, Anthony, what you're saying is untrue. This is an untrue thought. This is not a helpful thought. Be gone. Get out. Boom. And he will come and do that. I think Jesus did this with Peter when he rose and he had breakfast with them on the beach. Remember Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times, 1, 2, and the third one was actually a little girl. If you read it, the original language, it's probably more like a 12, 13-year-old girl says to Peter, you knew Jesus, and he got scared and ran. Imagine how he felt. Now, if Peter remembered, Jesus was said that, you know what, I'm gonna use you, Peter. Now he's just hiding away. There's a few things that Jesus did. One, when the Marys first saw Jesus, the angel said to Mary, go and tell the disciples and who? And Peter, that I've risen. But anyway, in this encounter, Jesus sees Peter, and they went off and they walk, and Peter is talking to Jesus, and Jesus asked Peter like 3 times. Oh, that's interesting. 3 times. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Do you love me, Peter? He's just, I want you to look after my sheep, feed my sheep. And in that moment, Jesus is removing whatever lie, whatever untrue thought. You know, Peter went back to the fishing game. I can go back and fish, back to the family business, selling fruit and veggies, whatever it was fish for him. We all our mind all tells us lies and unhelpful things. And the enemy wants to do that. He wants to derail you. But sometimes Jesus comes along and he bumps you. That's a lie. Don't let the enemy say that to you. That's not true. Remember last week we talked about how we're all created in the image of God, that you have worth and value. Don't let anyone say you don't have worth and value. The creator of the universe sends his son to die for you. You have worth and value. Absolutely. So there's a lie that we say. When I finished up that lakeside, 26 years of ministry, 26 years at one place, driving to the same place, and sometimes I just drive there. because it's just inrooted in my nav man in my head. That's how many times. And when I finished up, I started to think, well, maybe I'm not cut out for ministry. What do you mean? You've been doing it for 26 years. You've made some mistakes. You've learned some stuff. You've done some good things. Why are you telling yourself you're not meant to be ministering? I was at this conference and a guy by the name of Tim Hanna, I don't know if you know Tim Hanna, he used to do ministry up here in the hills, Kalamunda, years ago, but he ended up being the CEO of Compassion. And he was sharing, and this was a bump from Jesus to remove a lie or an untrue. Oh, I started saying I'm no good and I'm not a good pastor, and my wife was getting sick of it. She was more of this kind of remove a lie, right, share it from, she was over it. But Jesus did a little bit more compassionately through Tim Hanna. And Tim Hanna was saying, he said, distinguish between my calling and my assignments. Just that simple phrase. Oh, that was a bump. There's a difference between calling and assignments. Lakeside wasn't my calling. It was an assignment. It was a long assignment, 26 years. That's how long it took me to do assignments. But it's not my calling. My calling is to share Jesus, to preach Jesus. My calling is to be a pastor. That was a beautiful assignment. Now there's another assignment God's got. So Jesus says, remove that lie. Remove that untrue thought. What untrue thoughts and what lies are you telling yourself that Jesus needs to bump? Maybe he's bumping it right now. Maybe he's bumping it right now. Allow him to. Fifth one, second last one, rebuke you over sin. We don't like this as much. And the thing is, though, sometimes Jesus bumps us to rebuke us of a sin. You've got to be careful with this one. It's not always the case. I've sat with people who, I sat with one lady who was dying of cancer. And I don't know if it was a pastor or someone, a lady, a friend from a different church was basically saying the reason why Jesus hasn't healed her is because she doesn't have enough faith. And this lady was an incredible woman, incredible legacy of faith. You know, eventually we have to die, don't we? Or we will die. And here's this poor lady wrestling now thinking she doesn't have enough faith. She had so much faith. But sometimes Jesus does come along and he bumps us and says, actually, you are sinning. And the behavior is not good. And so I'm going to bump you out of that. The disciples out on the Sea of Galilee, these fishermen, Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat, a little pillow it says. The big storm comes up, the waves are crashing, the lightning is coming down. We know it must have been quite severe because these are fishermen, experienced fishermen, who are scared. So they get really, really scared and they say, let's wake up Jesus. I'm not waking up Jesus. You wake up Jesus. Does it say who woke him up? I don't think it does, but I'd love to know who woke him up because it would be like, no, I'm not waking up Jesus. Anyway, they kind of talk about it. Eventually, they wake up Jesus. Jesus. And what does he do? The language is quite strong there. He actually rebukes the wind firstly. He says, be still. And it goes beautiful. Calm like a pond. And then he says, you of little faith. You guys, so you have no faith. He's rebuking the sin there. He says, I'm in the boat. You got nothing to worry about. But he rebukes them of their sin. Is Jesus rebuking you of a sin? Because sometimes that's why he bumps you. Maybe you can feel like that now. The last one here is he sometimes bumps us to reassure you of his presence. Look at this beautiful passage. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. 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 And Jesus will bump you sometimes just to remind you that he's there. Just to let you know that he's right beside you. 2020 was an interesting year, actually, because I had a heart attack in 2020. It's not the meatballs. Actually, it probably is the meatballs. But I had a heart attack in 2020, which was a huge surprise. And I was in hospital for a week. The second day I would have got, this was Jesus reminding me that he was there, I got like 5 or 6 text messages from people with that beautiful passage. Even I saw it on Facebook. It was the daily reading on YouVision or YouVersion, whatever it is. And it was for the God of peace, that transcends all understanding will guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I got it like 50 times. Slight exaggeration, 10 times. It was unbelievable. God of peace will transcends all understanding, will guide your heart. Oh, what's my problem? My heart. Now, he's talking about something else here, but for me, and your mind. What was Jesus doing there? He was just reminding me, Anthony, you've had a heart attack, but I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I'm there with you. He reassures you of his presence. How do we respond then? Most of the times when Jesus bumps us, whether it be for our sin, whether it be to redirect, whether it be to remove a lie, whether it be to make sure we're refocusing, whether it be to remind us that we are that he's there with us, most of it, the time, it's to kind of change our perspective or what we're looking at or where we're heading, our angle. There's a painting here. You probably can't see all the detail. It took me a long time. No, I didn't paint this. But it's a beautiful painting. It's a painting of the Virgin Mary and Jesus. They're quite white, and Mary's got that kind of radioactive glow, but that was obviously the period of the artwork. Italian artist by the name of Filippo Lippi, and he painted this 15th century. It's not a massive painting, but a lot of the artists, critics, give this painting a really hard time because it's just, everything's a bit out of whack. You can't really see it from there. And the rule of thirds, when you kind of paint, you don't paint right in the middle. There's all these different kind of rules, and the baby's too big, and the sizing, and the trees, and the foreground. It's just all a little bit messy. This guy by the name of Robert Cumming, who's an art critic, was looking at this painting, and then he realized something. This painting was not meant to be hung on a wall. Lippi's reason for painting this was actually to be viewed. This painting was meant to be viewed in a kneeling position like this because it was meant to be viewed in prayer. And so when he did that, it changed the perspective of this piece of artwork. When he kneeled down and looked, oh, that looks better. It was designed to be an aid for prayer, not just to be hung on the wall. And sometimes, or in fact a lot of the times, when Jesus comes and bumps, he wants to change our perspective, what we're doing in life or how we're viewing him. May mean getting on our knees, praying and thanking. How do we respond when Jesus bumps? I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. I just want 30 seconds of silence and allow the Holy Spirit to maybe bump you in one of those areas. He may not. And maybe this morning, with your eyes closed, the Holy Spirit may have revealed something that Jesus has bumped in, or has bumped you in a certain area. And now the question is, what do you do? Is it a sin to confess? Is there some actions that you need to take? Some behaviors you need to change? Some new habits you need to form? Was there something that you were doing that you need to stop or look or focus in a different area? But what actions? I want you to think right now, your eyes closed, what are you going to do out of this? Doesn't have to be massive. It could just be something simple, simple prayer. It could be waking up early and reading the Bible. What is it that God is calling you to do in responding to this bump? Maybe he's reminding you of a truth. Maybe you just need to write that truth on a piece of paper and this week and stick it on the fridge or whatever. Don't waste the opportunity. I'm just going to close now by reading this prayer. Oz Guinness, who's an author of this book called Impossible People, and he says this. Let me pray this over you. O Lord, we humbly bow before you. Without your truth, we are confused and our lives lack meaning. Without your grace, we are lost in our sins and cannot find you or save ourselves. Without your mercy, we are overwhelmed by our smallness. Without your providence, we are overcome by a world that refuses to be transformed according to our endeavors, our ideals. You are our Lord and our rescuer. Grant us your truth to clear our fog, your grace to restore us when we go wrong, your fresh calling to stir new purpose in our hearts, and above all, your love and mercy to help us stand with our heads held high, that we may be people worthy of the high calling of making a home for your divine presence in our world and in our time. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.